Morning, everyone. My name is Laurie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm very, very happy to be with you this morning. I have always appreciate the opportunity to do service, and that's one of my disciplines in this program. So I'm going to start with my family history. I was born to a really small town with a farming town, and I had two brothers and mom and dad. And I has was lucky enough to have be on the farm and learned a lot about, being in nature. And the unfortunate part about that is our life was really chaotic. My dad was an alcoholic, excuse me, was an alcoholic, and my brother and my mom were compulsive overeaters as well. And I became a latchkey kid really early in life, and that was really affected my ability to be secure in what I was doing. I was also an incest survivor. That had happened at the age of 8, and that really discolored my view of the world and affected how I responded to things around me. But I discovered at a really early age that food was a solution for me. I was able to stuff all of my feelings, the bad feelings that I had about things that had happened, things that were going on, things that were in our daily events. And it just was something that I did from the time I was like, I want to say 7 or 8 years old. And I just started doing that. And my mother used to always say to me, "You don't have to eat as much as your brother," but I always did. And I always tried to my mother used to say, "You try to keep up with him." I guess probably I did, but anyway, by the time I got into high school, it was a really difficult time for me. Some people ask you if you had the chance to go back and know what you know today, would you do it? And I always say, no, I would never go back there and do that. I had really a difficult time. I came out when I was 14, and it was a small town, and it was very difficult. The bullying was constant, and the shaming and the humiliation were constant. So anyway, by the time I was getting to be like in 10th or 10 or 11th grade, I weighed about 200 pounds, and I kept that weight on all of my life, no matter how many diets I went on. And I'm sure everybody in this room has been on all these diets where we yo-yo up and down. Up and down. And every time I would get into a new diet, I would think, oh, this will fix it. This will do it. This will be the answer to what I've done with to how miserable I am. Because inside, I was really, really miserable. Being gay and a fat kid in high school was not a picnic at all. And I know that had I been at least normal size, it probably wouldn't have been quite so difficult. The worst part about it was that it isolated me to the point where I really got to be friends with food. I got to the point where I wouldn't even answer the door to the house and somebody would knock because I didn't want to go in. I would go actually hide behind something so that people couldn't see any movement in the house and they would think that I was all alone. Being a latchkey kid, I mean, I was alone most of the time after my parents bought a bar, which was not the most intelligent thing for my father to do, but he became his own best customer, and that made a huge, huge difference in how we lived our lives. It was constantly a chaotic atmosphere, and a lot of fighting and a lot of crying involved in that. So anyway, I decided that food was the answer, and that's what I did. I mean, it kept me. All my feelings would be stuffed. I didn't have to worry about feeling sad or glad or anything. And I felt safe because I would expect that, the common sense told me that if I was overweight, then I would be protected from unwanted male attention. So anyway, I'll move on to when I finally, at the age of 25, went to my first OA meeting. And it was in the city, And there was only a few of us in the room. It was very small. And I remembered I was so terrified. I was so terrified I couldn't even read the steps. They gave us the papers to read and I couldn't even do it. So, and I don't even remember what was said because I was just terrified. And I can't explain to you why. And it doesn't matter why, but I just remember being so fright stricken that I couldn't even speak. And it didn't last. I only went to the one meeting and then I ran like crazy. And I just continued to eat and eat and eat and eat. It didn't matter that I had a loving relationship at the time. It didn't matter that, I was the happiest I'd been in my adult life at the time. None of that made any difference. I mean, food was just the center of my life. And I felt that without it, that I couldn't function in life. So anyway, I wanted to continue. When I got to be 36, I went back to OA and I had some success then. I decided that, okay, this has got to work. My life was a mess. I went through a breakup and my job was in flux and I just was a mess. And I remember asking the woman to sponsor me on the way out. And I said to her, will you sponsor me? She said, are you willing to go to any length? And I said, yes. And then she said, call me at 6:30 tomorrow morning. And I just went, what? 6:30 in the morning? Oh my God, that's so early. That's before I go to work, blah, 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 blah. I had all these like excuses in my head, but I did it because I was really desperate. And when that started, I had success at that in that program for about, I mean, I continued for about 5 and a half, 6 months. And I had a significant weight loss during that time. And I felt healthier than I had in the whole time. But and I make a note here that I was single during that time. And I did really well until I started dating someone else. And then I transferred my dependency from food to that person. And then within 2 months of that, I was back to eating again the same way that I had been. And it's just really interesting that to me, it doesn't have to necessarily be food. And it doesn't take a lot for me to get off track back then. I get really distracted by that relationship, and I gave up my own health to do that. So when the slogan "First things first" comes to mind, that really is important to me because if I don't put my program first, then everything else around me starts to fall apart. And that doesn't serve my relationships, it doesn't serve my health, it doesn't serve anything good in my life. So "First things first" is a very important slogan to me. Anyway, so I gained back that weight plus. And by the time I was 40 years old, I weighed 300 pounds on a 5'2" frame. And it wasn't very pleasant. I remember at work that I wasn't able, I missed a lot of opportunity to have productive, promotions and that kind of thing. Not so much because of what I did, but by what I looked like. I couldn't be a good role model out in the community looking the way that I did. So I did not get these promotions that would have made a difference in my life. I wandered around at 300 pounds for about, oh, 4 years. And finally, I couldn't even walk anymore. And I went to the doctor and I was really sick. And they diagnosed me with a terminal illness that came directly from all the abuse I had done to my body from the constant overeating and the constant, sedentary life that I lived at the time. And after I was diagnosed with this disease, I was in a wheelchair and I was on oxygen at 42 years old. And I could barely move, barely breathe. And I was very, very uncomfortable. And I was sad because, a terminal diagnosis gets you kind of right with the world in a heartbeat. Because, one of the things that they told me was get your things in order. And I was petrified. I was petrified. The last thing I wanted to do was die. So, the doctors and everyone, I mean, I had a big medical team and their whole thing was you got to lose weight, you got to lose weight, you got to lose weight. And, finally, when I became well enough, because I couldn't have a gastric bypass when I was so sick, and they got me well enough that I was able to do the gastric bypass. And that was an answer for me. I lost all of my weight. It took a short period of time, probably around a year or so, and I was able to keep that weight off for 7 years. So it was a solution, right? It actually worked for a while. But let me tell you something. The thing about compulsive overeating is that it's the food chatter between my ears. It's not the physical picking up. That's secondary. After 7 years, I just started to pick up a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. I started to the point where I started to graze all day long, and I was able to do that. And the fatal progression that happens with this disease, when they talk about it being a fatal progression, they're not kidding. It will kill you in the long run without any question. I ended up putting back on 80 pounds after that bypass, and I carried that around until I came to OA when I was 59 again, back into OA, 59 years old, 80 pounds heavier from with a gastric bypass, thinking to myself, you're just worthless. You're just worthless. You don't even know how to care for yourself. You're stupid. You're this, you're that, the other thing. Because I was practicing compulsive overeating every single day, every single day. And that's noteworthy because today I practice my OA program every single day. And I know that some people say to me, you do that every day. And I'm like, yeah, because if I don't, then I'm going to be right back where I was at. So right now I maintain 162 pound weight loss from where I was at. And I've been able to do that for 2 years. I have more happiness, physicality. I can breathe, which is something I wasn't able to do. I can walk. I can take out the trash. Simple things. I can get in the car and I don't have to worry about buckling the seatbelt. I can get in a plane and I know that I can take up just one seat, not three. So all those dividends that you get from losing weight, I have those today. And that's a really, I'm just really thankful and I feel very blessed about all of that. And some people say to me, well, how do you do it? I get that question a lot. How do you do it? And I say, well, first thing I do is I accepted a higher power. I finally gave up the theological arguments about what is God and what is not God. And I put it all aside and I developed a higher power that works for me. I call it a functional higher power that works for me in all aspects of my life. So that was the most important thing. It took time. It didn't happen to me overnight. I didn't get a white light blast that I was cured. I didn't get any of that. I was a educational growth for me, becoming to have the higher power that works and it fluctuates for me. But I'm able to develop it to the point where I know that it works for me and I'm able to depend upon that higher power every day. So I started with steps, and when I got to the step one and I realized I really have an abnormal relationship with food. It's that simple. It comes down to that every single time. So I, when I remember that, then I don't have anywhere near the difficulty remaining on program. When I get to step four, that was really difficult for me. I'm working a second step four right now, and I run across questions that always stump me, and I always learn more and more and more because as we peel the layers of the onion, there's always more to learn, right? We just We just grow and grow and grow as long as we're willing to take a look and to dig deeper and to heal more.
5-minute reminder.
Thank you. Another thing I do is as I have a sponsor. I have two who I report my food to daily, and I do that every single day. I have sponsees. I have five sponsees that I work with on a daily basis, and that keeps me in program. I go to meetings just about every single day. I do service when I'm able to do service. I pray every day. I do meditation every day. I do my readings every day. I do my daily disciplines. And if I miss my discipline in the morning for whatever reason, I don't have as good of a day as if I do it. And it's that simple. Secondly, like I said, I practice compulsive, I mean, excuse me, I practice overeater program every single day. And because I practice compulsive eating every single day. And when it comes to the choice, I have the choice to make it one way or the other. And it's up to me. So I'm very, very compassionate toward anyone who has this disease. I do my best to reach out and carry the message the best that I can. I also, something I didn't want to forget to bring acronyms into the message, like GOD, good orderly direction. And the one I like the best that saves me most of the time is STST, and it stands for what step, tool, slogan, or tradition works in this situation when I'm having difficulty. Because life still shows up. Just because I don't eat doesn't mean that life is constantly beautiful every moment. It helps me deal with what is going on when I'm in the chaos, and it helps me to pause when I'm in a situation that is making me upset. And then I'm able to, even my partner will say to me sometimes, well, what step would work in this situation? And it just makes me laugh and giggle. And I kind of like, okay, all right, all right, all right. I'll work program instead of being so adamant about being relying on looking at the problem. So anyway, I just wanted to thank you again for allowing me to be here with you today. I'll leave my name and that information in the chat. So if somebody wants to reach out to me, that would be I would be delightful to work with anybody who wants to do that. And I just want to thank you for being here. You guys have a wonderful, excellent day. Thank you.